Hello, I'm Bob Johnson, and welcome to another episode of The X-Files. I mean, welcome to another episode of Brick House.
Oh, man, which one does that make me? I'm Matt Baker, and I'm Scully.
Scully and Mulder. I got the show confused because there's just the craziest conspiracy in the NBA that maybe I could never remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a conspiracy at all, but I've got my foil hat on today, Matt, about it.
There's nothing I love more than a Bob Johnson wearing his tinfoil hat ready to shout some craziness at me. Maybe truthful craziness?
We never know. We never know. This is all just pure speculation. It's really more fan fiction than pulled from anything that is based in reality or fact right now.
NBA fan fiction.
But it's very early in the event. Should we explain what we're talking about? The part owner of the Thunder, yeah. Aubrey McClendon, died this past week, one day after he was indicted by a federal court. He was charged with violating the Sherman antitrust laws, which...
Trying to corner the market.
Yeah, but he was accused of rigging bids land. And the more research I've done on Chesapeake Energy and American Energy Partners, the two companies that Aubrey McClendon started, the more I learned that he was really running a company that was destined to fail big or succeed big with no real in-between.
You didn't fall down the Chesapeake Energy rabbit hole. You fell down the Chesapeake Energy giant oil well into the internet.
Yeah, a mile-long, deep well.
When I came over this morning to record, all the blinds were closed, and you were sitting in the corner, and you're like, did anyone follow you in? I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, shut the door. Oh, okay.
After the incident, I actually first found out from you. You know, we did a lot of research about the owners for the NBA previews.
Yeah.
And these guys, I spent a lot of time reading about, just because Rolling Stone has printed so many anti-fracking articles, there's actually a lot of dirt written on these owners.
I walked by a Wall Street Journal newspaper, and I looked at it, and in the corner it said Thunder owner Aubrey McClendon indicted on chart. And I thought, like, wait, isn't that the one that just died? And then I looked and saw that it was yesterday. I'm like, this is super weird. This is crazy. I have to text Bob.
Something smells rotten in Denmark.
Yeah,
as they say.
So he was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash either.
Well, I read a couple of conflicting things on that.
Okay.
I read in one article that he was not wearing a seatbelt, but I read in another one that the car was so badly burnt that it's impossible for police to tell whether or not he was wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, so the seatbelt might have burnt up.
Everything burnt up in the car really, really quickly.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just telling you that when I looked up the top reasons for a car to catch fire, the number one reason was the person sets it on fire themselves.
Yeah.
It was very, very suspicious. But it really was, if you're going to build a good, solid conspiracy, you got to start with motivation, you know?
Right.
Who benefits from this guy dying suddenly at age 56, one day before he's supposed to appear in court?
But the initial first thought would be the company. I've watched enough hour-long dramas on CBS and TNT.
Yeah.
To know that if something like this happens, there's always the potential for some shenanigans to go on.
Yeah, big tobacco or big energy, big pharma, you know. We all assume they have some hitmen secretly on the payroll. You know, to that effect, some of the conspiracies I started researching were suggesting that cars can be hacked nowadays.
Yeah.
Now cars have an internal computer.
Right.
And, you know, found a few articles suggesting that some journalists who were sniffing around the wrong corporations possibly met their demise like that. Similar sort of thing. Single car crash, over 100 miles per hour, seemingly no reason for a nebbish, you know, journalist to be out joyriding in the middle of the night, you know.
Right.
But, you know, one thing, just from reading the articles, just from reading the headlines of the articles about Aubrey McClendon throughout his years, I mean, the Forbes wrote an article calling him the world's most reckless billionaire.
Wow.
His company actually doesn't really make all their money from drilling land. Their business operations are intentionally confusing, and what they're really making most of their money from is flipping land.
Okay.
Which is why the bid rigging was such a big deal. He was forced out of Chesapeake Energy by partners and moved down the street and started American Energy Partners.
Uh-huh.
And then they would put in bids for a plot of land. They've been acquiring land. The company, Chesapeake, owns so many million acres. It's like the size of West Virginia,
right?
The total amount of land that they own.
But throughout the nation.
Throughout the country, right?
Obviously.
But if you're rigging bids on land, that's what they're accused of doing, is that prior to going in on a bid, they would agree which company was going to win for how much. And then when that company won, they would sell or give part stake in the wells and the land to the other company.
Sure.
So they're just working
Everyone's
together,
in cahoots, basically. Colluding. Yeah.
He's really built this house of cards,
right,
that, you know, could make one person think that suicide was the cause of the death.
When I heard about this, that's where I went. That's where my head went initially.
He wouldn't be the first billionaire to be charged with doing something nefarious or, you know, questionably legal. The thing with billionaires in America who are charged with these white-collar crimes is normally they don't suffer any consequences, except for maybe
they'll slap
on the wrist.
Right. It would be a pretty substantial fine, I would imagine, plus some sort of time. I'm no legal expert, Bob.
Oh?
Yeah. I would imagine that the business would have had to pay a ton of money.
So, yeah, that's what made me think. If this, in fact, was suicide, maybe what they were going to uncover was going to be just so obviously bad.
Yeah.
That not only would he not be able to escape the penalties, but the shame and everything, his family's suffering. More information is going to come out about it. It's just too fascinating and curious for people not to follow up, I would think.
How many times does this happen where a major, I say major public figure, a lot of people didn't know his name, but he is a guy worth a lot of money, so he is a major public figure in some circles. How often does someone get indicted and then die the next day? It is
the last time I can remember something even remotely similar was Kenneth Lay, the CEO of Enron.
Oh yeah.
Who had a heart attack days before he was supposed to report to prison.
Right. But even then that was after he was going to prison. They made it through all that other stuff.
And right. Right.
So
another theory, though. You know, some people believe that Kenneth Lay never died and that he faked his own death. And that is something that, you know, I guess is on the table as long as we're writing the X-Files here.
Sure.
With McClendon.
Until they get results back from dental records, because I assume if everything burned, he burnt.
That would be the assumption. And, you know, I'm not sure on how to fake a crime scene with DNA and dental records and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But if I had $1 billion and I didn't know how to fake a crime scene with DNA and dental records, I would maybe talk to a dentist or the coroner,
yeah,
or the police who would be on the scene. How much money would it take to get them to say, like, that was Aubrey McClendon, you know?
Sure. Clearly, this is his car. Would someone else be driving his car?
The car I thought was interesting, a 2013 Chevy for a guy who makes $128 million a year.
Yeah. Well, I have heard, on that note, I have heard a lot of people who have made their money tend to buy used because they let someone else take the hit. So that
it is a gas guzzler, too. I mean, that's good for Chesapeake.
That's true.
Energy.
He's contributing to the cause. Yeah, that would be weird if the chairman of Chesapeake Energy was driving around in a Prius.
Well, that's enough about Aubrey McClendon. Let's get into some new acquisitions made on some actual NBA rosters, Matt. Wanted to ask you, you know, based on these signings, What's the biggest signing? We were hoping for some big players that were rumored to be traded on the trade market. Yet the McRib is still with McDonald's, and OJ is still with black people. But there are some players that are on some new teams, starting with the sad sack story of the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets.
Oh, man.
Who just signed, for the rest of the season, not to a 10-day contract, the Chinese League MVP, Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley.
And former Laker Andrew Goudelock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose made a comment during the Rockets game the other night saying, did Beasley just check in at 420? I wasn't looking. Thought that was pretty clever, Jalen.
That's really good.
So I don't know what the hell the Rockets are doing these days. I mean, it's like they're making it a game now. It's like, we don't want to just be the team that's shooting the most three-pointers. We want to be the team that's hiring the most irresponsible basketball players in the world.
Has Morey jumped the shark on his own brilliance?
He might have. I don't know. Maybe he was just like, you know, realizing the second go-round signing Josh Smith wasn't working out, and so now he's just doubling down on power forwards who make terrible decisions.
Yeah, they got rid of the dysfunction with Ty Lawson, so they had to just re-sign the dysfunction with Beasley.
You know, the opposite of a stupid Rocket signing is got to be the Spurs signing Kevin Martin.
Pop will do the Jedi mind trick, you don't need the ball thing right in front of his face, and then he'll say, I don't need the ball.
I just got to imagine that the plane for the Spurs now has got to have like an old man section where Duncan, Miller, David West, Kevin Martin, I imagine them just like playing chess or playing pinochle or canasta at the back of the plane, you know, just talking about like the best lawn fertilizers and, you know, how things were before the war. And
Ginobili's over there. And
let me tell you about some of these other signings, Matt, and you tell me which one you think could maybe affect a playoff team the most. The Pacers signed Ty Lawson.
Oh, the Pacers ended up with him.
Pacers ended up with Ty.
I totally spaced out on where he went.
Joe Johnson, we already talked about last week's in Miami. The Thunder just a couple days ago signed Nazir Muhammad.
Yeah.
Chris Humphreys left to Phoenix after that trade and now signed with Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Another player that is really trying to make a playoff team or any team is Baron Davis. He's playing for the 76ers D-League team, the 87ers now.
Yeah.
And busted out a dunk and a Steph Curry-esque 40-foot three-pointer in his first game.
Why wouldn't Baron Davis get a shot? I mean, I know he's old, but
yeah,
you got to think old Baron is better than some of these other guys that are floating around getting jobs. Would you rather have old Baron or Ty Lawson?
I love Baron Davis. He's one of my favorite players of all time, so it's hard for me to be objective there.
Would you rather have, I know there are different positions, but would you rather have Michael Beasley or Baron Davis?
Again,
I know, same thing. I mean, you one of your favorite players, but you would.
They both are going to bring a lot of good weed to the team, but
yeah,
I think Baron Davis would use it more responsibly.
Yeah, well, and but you're just getting rid of Ty Lawson, so you have a need at some sort of guard who wears a headband sometimes.
Yeah. So, which team do you think Baron Davis could actually help the most?
Maybe like Dallas or someone, or
oh, definitely,
or Charlotte.
He definitely seems like Dallas material. He's at that mercenary age to play on a short, unguaranteed contract.
Yeah, so the thing with some of these teams, like the Cavs, he would fit on the... It'd be hilarious if he was on the Cavs after them bringing him and Kyrie, the pick that turned into Kyrie.
Yeah. Well, I hope he does. I'm going to continue to monitor that situation, but his highlights are getting on ESPN. I think he's getting close.
Question, Bob. We had another Warriors-Thunder matchup. I am 100% convinced now the Thunder have no shot of beating the Warriors in the playoffs.
They had a rough week.
They had a rough, but it's one thing to lose. But when they were showing the Thunder on the bench, Westbrook and those guys, when they were just showing, they just looked like a team that knew they have no shot at this moment to beat the Warriors.
Maybe it was Sam Presti that hacked Aubrey McClendon's car. He just couldn't deal with having this mess up the year of Kevin Durant's free agency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what a better excuse to go to the Lakers than, you know, my owner is turning Oklahoma into Swiss cheese.
Yeah, rough week for all the Thunder. For a team that has two of the best five or six players in the league to, in my opinion, not even have a shot to beat the Warriors is just completely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, their team is kind of like Space Jam, where they have the superstar, and then if you pass the ball, though, you got a Looney Tune, you know, with not a lot of, Wayne Knight, you know, on the wing. Andre Roberson is a zero or a negative 10 on offense. You know, you can't pass him the ball. He can't dribble, he can't pass, and he can't shoot. It's like playing 4-on-5.
It's funny you mention that, because I had that thought when I was watching the game and seeing Robertson run around, thinking, this guy can't be getting substantial minutes for a team that hopes to win a championship.
But Deion Waiters is
that's the problem. They were
just as bad, but has way more confidence to think that he's great.
Their options, if you don't want to play Robertson, or Foy and Waiters, which are kind of the same player.
Yeah.
And honestly, it kind of feels like why the Cavs couldn't beat the Warriors last year. Granted, they had injuries.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a team like the 96 Bulls, where they had someone like Luke Longley in the middle, you know, and you're just like, wow, how can a championship team have such a shitty starter like Luke Longley? It's like, well, you also, the four other players are really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but say that same thing. I like Bogut. Uh-huh. I think Bogut's a fine player, but is Bogut what you think a championship team would have at center? Maybe in today's NBA, but the same thing. Like,
well, he's still a number one pick in the draft, and, you know, I know they're both Australian centers, but he's no Luke Longley.
Yeah. The Thunder don't have an Iguodala that they know can come off the bench and, like, be a capable player.
Donovan's only started to finally not take Durant and Westbrook out at the same time for long stretches.
Yeah.
He's finally learned that he has to keep at least one of those guys in pretty much all the time.
Right.
Which pretty much results in Kevin Durant playing entire quarters without taking any time off.
Because he takes one out doesn't mean he's going to swap. He still wants to have both of them in there at the same time.
Yeah. Matt, I wanted to introduce a new section today.
Oh, man.
It's called Evidence Matt and Bob Are Getting Old.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this little tidbit I found.
Waking up in the morning, that's number one.
Devin Booker's dad talked to the Players Tribune this week.
Yeah.
And Devin Booker, you know, is a potential future superstar of your Phoenix Suns.
I sure hope so.
Devin Booker's dad is moving out of the house that Devin grew up in this month, and just in the past 30 days took a Kevin Durant fathead down from Devin Booker's room.
Yeah.
Because Devin Booker grew up watching Kevin Durant. He was 11 years old during Durant's rookie
That's
year.
That's insane.
And is now an NBA basketball
That's so
player.
Crazy. Yeah, so Kevin Durant was the player during his formative basketball years.
Yeah. You know, it's like I was trying to think of what our comparison would be. It's like you and I grew up like right around the time we were too young to really know. The Berlin Wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we live with this, you know, idea that there once existed this thing called the Berlin Wall, although we weren't really, you know, thinking people to really remember what it was like when there was a Berlin
Wall. We acknowledge that this thing exists, but we don't remember it.
This is Devin Booker's relationship with the Seattle Supersonics.
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah.
The Seattle Supersonics are ancient history for a current NBA player now.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, man, I maybe should shave my head, and then you won't ever see the gray hairs.
Well, he knows nothing about the Vancouver Grizzlies then.
Yeah.
Ollie.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Those teal jerseys or whatever the color
Sharif
they were.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim is his great-great-grandfather.
Wow, that's really crazy.
I wanted to definitely touch on the quotes from a couple of superstars this week. Well, I don't know if you consider him a superstar, Matt.
I'll tell you.
What's the deal with Carmelo Anthony engaging with hecklers in Madison Square Garden? I think this is really the sign of the times that Carmelo Anthony's days with the New York Knicks are numbered.
Yeah.
There's less than 20 games to go in the season. What happened was the other night a fan was heckling the Knicks, and particularly Melo. He's sitting on the bench. The guy's yelling over and over, "Hey, Melo, you suck.
Classic.
You know, I'm not coming to any more games. This is terrible." Melo, normally, like all other NBA players, will tune heckling like this out, but the frustration had mounted to a boiling point, and he fired back at the fan, yelling right within earshot of James Dolan. I mean, there's a footage that I saw on the Starters where Melo is less than 5 feet from Dolan, yelling at this fan, saying, "If you don't like it, here's the owner right there. Why don't you ask him for your money back?" You know? Which is a valid request. And in fact, Robert Sarver of the Phoenix Suns did a thing last year where he said, "If you didn't have fun at the Phoenix Suns game, mail in your ticket stubs and we'll send you your money back." You remember that, Matt?
Right, yeah.
So it's not unheard of for this, although the Knicks charge a lot more for their tickets than the Phoenix Suns do.
I would imagine so.
But not only that, they doubled down on the embarrassment by Melo issuing one of those athlete, you know, agent PR written apologies the next day. He said, what did he say? "I don't really think I said anything wrong. The guy said he wasn't coming to any more games. I said, what are you talking to me about it?" The owner's right there. And then later asked, whose idea was it to apologize for engaging with the heckler? And he said, the owner told me to do that. That was the Knicks' idea, too. So he made an apology and then quickly said,
it wasn't his idea.
Wasn't his idea. Yeah.
Solid.
The final straw that, when I read it, I realized Melo is done with the Knicks, was that Wednesday evening, the team had a charity bowling function, which Melo did not attend.
Oh,
for
man.
Personal reasons.
Well, if we've seen anything in the NBA this year, it's that the year of the bowling camaraderie outings.
If you're on a shitty team, you doing your business in the bowling alley these days.
Yeah.
That's where relationships are forged.
So something must be up, because if he didn't attend the team building bowling.
Yeah, he might as well just sent a message to Dolan there at the bowling alley that was like, "I'm not going to make it." And he wrote it on his no trade clause.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's already signed it. Just like, just send me to the damn Hornets. I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
where Melo will go, we'll have to save for another speculative podcast, because I want to talk about the King.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Normally, we'll call this section What the Fuck Does Anything Have to Do with LeBron James? But for the purposes of this one, it's really more of what the fuck or who the fuck is LeBron James tweeting about?
Oh, man.
He sent a tweet out the other day saying, "It's okay to know you've made a mistake, because we all do it at times, just to be ready to live with whatever that comes with it, and be with those who will protect you at all costs." When asked about this tweet, LeBron James says it had nothing to do with basketball and nothing to do with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, sure. It was just, you know, a classic LeBron
natural
James.
Follow-up question to that would be, well then, who were you tweeting about, LeBron?
Yeah.
You know? He wouldn't say.
Uh-huh.
Some people speculate that he's talking about Stephen A. Smith for reporting that Kyrie Irving is unhappy in Cleveland and wants to leave. You know, saying that Smith has made a mistake. He should maybe admit to making a mistake.
Right.
Or maybe he, in fact, is talking about Kyrie. I mean, last year he tweeted about fitting in rather than fitting out.
Yes.
Which was obviously to everyone involved.
Kevin Love.
About Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He swore that it wasn't about Kevin Love. Then a few weeks later, it's just like, all right.
Okay, fine.
It was.
Yeah.
Maybe this actually was about Kyrie. If what Stephen A. Smith reported was true, and Kyrie or his people have expressed sentiments that he is unhappy in Cleveland, that would definitely get LeBron to say something about that. Or, of course, LeBron James could have been talking about Aubrey McClendon. If he made a mistake, there's no reason you have to go and drive into a wall.
Yeah.
And, why would LeBron James even care about this? Because while he does spend a lot of time protecting his brand and marketability, he's also expressed a desire to be, the richest athlete to ever live.
Right. We've talked about that. He takes personal classes from Warren Buffett and all that.
Yeah. You know what stock really went down after this Aubrey McClendon stuff? Chesapeake Energy and American Energy Partners.
Yeah.
If LeBron James had invested some money in those companies, I could see why, he'd send out a tweet, although not want to admit what it's really about.
Yeah.
Anyways, some other bullshit LeBron James said this week was that the Cavs don't have an enforcer-type player and that he's never won an NBA championship without one on the team.
Okay. So who would he say the other one? Who did he give any clue to who the Miami Heat ones were?
People assume that the Miami Heat players he must have been talking about were Udonis Haslam and or Chris Birdman Anderson.
Right.
Those are the tough guys on the team.
Right.
Even Kyrie Irving agreed with LeBron's statement saying that that they don't have an enforcer. People were speculating that maybe LeBron was talking about Kendrick Perkins because him and a lot of other Cavs players were, quote, pissed off when he wasn't re-signed in the offseason, and instead his roster spot went to 29-year-old rookie Sasha Khan, who has not played many minutes at all for this team. But, Matt, let's examine the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. And if you had to pick somebody as an enforcer, let's just imagine all these players, you don't know them, except they're in a police lineup.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're just looking at all these guys. And you had to, say, that guy, he's the tough guy on the team.
Yeah.
Who would you pick out of that lineup?
Man, of all the Cavs?
I would probably go with the guy who learned how to play basketball playing against wild bears and members of the KGB. One 7'3" Russian.
Mozgov?
Timothy Mozgov.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be the tough guy that I would see on the team would maybe Mo Williams, just because he's been around a while. Mozgov, it's not Tristan Thompson. It's not Sasha Khan. It's not Love or Fry.
Mozgov seems like he could be the tough guy in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Let alone an NBA team. And if it wasn't Timothy Mozgov, and you had to just look at all the players on the Cavs and pick one out as being super strong and tough and mean, it's LeBron James.
Yeah.
He's like one of the biggest, strongest dudes in the NBA. And he's fast as well,
Yeah.
Looking for an enforcer type. And you know who's actually tougher and dirtier than Udonis Haslam or Chris Birdman Anderson? Matthew Dellavedova.
Right.
I guarantee you, if I had to bet, and you were to put Udonis Haslam and Matthew Dellavedova in a giant potato sack, Dellavedova's the only one coming out alive out of potato sack.
Oh, yeah. He'll scrap you to death.
When NBA players were asked to vote on who they thought the dirtiest player in the NBA was, without any candidates to choose from, over 50% of NBA players voted that it was Matthew Dellavedova.
Right, right.
enforcer type. Why? I don't understand this. You know, the one last quote that LeBron got pissy about this week was comments about Anderson Varejão. Varejão, as we talked about last week, signed with the Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. and made a comment of, as soon as he got there, about how great it is to come to a team that shares the ball so much and is so happy together,
right.
which, you know, could be seen as a guy happy to, you know, accept being cut from the only team he's been on for his 13 NBA seasons,
right.
and, you know, moving on and happy with his new situation. Or if you're LeBron James, you could see it as a veiled dig at the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so LeBron's comment to this was, they're 55-5. Of course they're happy. You know, Stevie Wonder could tell you that they're happy, you know.
Yeah, I love it. It's just all crumbling.
Yo mama is so fat.
For the diss of the week this week, I actually got it from a rival podcast. I say rival, but it is one of my favorite NBA podcasts. It's called Sources Say.
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to that one?
I think it was a little bit.
It was originally NBA After Dark on Grantland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Chris Ryan and Juliette Littman. Juliette Littman has had this ongoing running joke about having a huge crush on Chandler Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
And Chandler Parsons was actually a guest on the show
this
past week. But he was the source for the diss of the week, because they were asking him what it's like to play on a team with Dirk Nowitzki. And he's just explaining how Dirk is like the most sarcastic player or person that he knows.
But yeah.
He just loves playing with him. They do shooting contest after every practice, and he's learning a lot from this guy, although he does make fun of his hair and his fashion sense. But the diss of the week is from Dirk, and he, you know, the Chris Ryan and Juliette Littman were asking Parsons for an example of Dirk Nowitzki's amazing sarcasm. So apparently in every Dallas game, whenever Chandler Parsons will pull up for a three, whether he makes it, whether he misses it, whether he's wide open or he's guarded, Dirk Nowitzki will yell out, "Of course!" Just like turn around and start running back the other way anytime Chandler Parsons pulls up for a shot in the middle of a game. I just thought that was hysterical.
Oh, that's so good.
Of course!
Just giving it to him like, of course. Oh, man. Dirk is great. One of my all-time favorite players. Oh, man, that's really good. Did Parsons like say he loved it?
Yeah, Parsons says, you know, he has to really focus on his shot so he's not cracking up laughing before the ball leaves his hand.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Well, the Lakers are one of the teams in sports history that has gone the longest without a mascot. They're jealous of the Clippers' new mascot, Chuck the Condor, who's just unveiled this past week.
Who wouldn't be jealous of that?
God.
Prestigious.
He gave away Chuck Taylors to everybody in the audience for the Brooklyn Nets-Los Angeles Clippers game.
Everybody in the audience.
Everybody in the audience got Chuck Taylors for the release of Chuck the Condor. And the Lakers were a little jealous, so they are next week unveiling their new mascot, Nicky the Humpback Whale. And he's giving away free Nikes, not Converse.
Yeah.
Some real good shoes.
What would Nicky, female mascot?
Nicky, female mascot. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about it. She's spelled like Nike, but we call her Nicky. You know,
I completely just glossed right over that.
It's one thing these billionaires have in common is they don't like spending their own money. You
right.
know? So you get a corporate sponsor to pay for and, you know, maintain the cost of your mascot. That's the wave of the future here, Matt.
Yeah.
The humpback whale has about as much in common with the Lakers as a condor has with a clipper ship. So This, I guess we'll give it to him.
This is a pretty good, this is a pretty good diss of the week, to follow up on that.
Yeah.
I just looked when I was looking this up. Vince Staples, a rapper, a Long Beach native and Clippers fan, after Chuck the Condor was revealed to the world, he tweeted out Elton in all caps, "Elton Brand didn't die for this." And then he followed that up with, "Fourth in the West and we out here off brand Fruit Loopin'."
You know, in actual seriousness, I heard a lot of people my age complaining about how stupid this mascot is. But you know who I didn't hear complaining about it? Was any like 7 or 8 year old kids,
yeah,
for which the mascot is designed.
Mascots are, they're for the kids.
But you know, you could really win this 31-year-old's heart with a couple of, you know, cool dunks or, you know, funny antics. And, you know, Chuck's just getting started. So when the war between the humpback whale and the condor starts, that's when things will start to get interesting in Los Angeles mascot territory.
Oh, man, can't wait.
Until then, please follow us at Brickhouse Pod. Tell your friends to listen. Hey, maybe send us some questions and we'll send you a T-shirt or something.
Ooh.
So the bribes are out there. Send us some ideas for some new mascots for the Yankees or anybody else that, yeah, that needs one, and we'll talk to you next week.